that I had my epic 4-hour interview here at Langford. And the search committee thinks back to that now and goes, boy, wow, you could talk. And I'll tell you, 9 months ago, when I sat back in that room, I would have never guessed that now I would be here, your pastor, having done 3 funeral services for people who have touched our lives deeply. I would have never guessed it. And I know that I've heard many of you describe my first few months here as a trial by fire. And it's been trying. There's no question about that. But I know that my experience has been nothing next to the experience of you. I know that you have lost loved ones. Your mom, your dad, your sister, your wife, your husband. And the devastation of that is awful. There's no getting around it. I've felt totally at a loss. What do I do? What do I say? And I think it begs the question too, what do we do? How do we face death in our lives? What could give us assurance and hope that would allow us to face down this awful thing? John 11 gets us into it. So let me take you there. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha, her sister. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his hair with her feet. Wait, that's not right. Wiped his feet with her. The sisters sent word to Jesus. The Lord, Lord, the one that you love is sick. John introduces us to characters that we know well, right? Mary and Martha, you know them, and their brother Lazarus. And of course, they have a real problem. Lazarus is sick. The sisters send to Jesus, and the way that they describe Lazarus is really quite poignant. He's not, Lazarus is sick. They say, the one whom you love is sick. I realize this morning that when we get into John 11, this gets us into territory that is really raw and really sensitive. I know that. And I want to try to reflect the tone of this text, because here and throughout we get a picture of Jesus that is compassionate and caring and sympathetic. You know, in the words of Isaiah, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. We see here Jesus being tender, and I want you to feel that tenderness this morning. Verse 4, when Jesus heard the news, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when they heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." And at this point, the disciples resist. In verse 8, it says, "But Rabbi, they tried to stone you a while ago, and yet you want to go back there." Down in verse 16, I think Thomas is saying what all of them are thinking. They just tried to kill you. You want to go back there? Well, okay. I guess we'll go back there if you'd like to. But Jesus says, "Look, don't worry. It's not time for that. God has work for me to do, so let's go." And off they trudge, this sick feeling. Verse 11, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he said plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But now let us go to him. You can imagine the turmoil that they're feeling, right? This is their friend, Lazarus. They've eaten at his table. They've slept under his roof before. And now Jesus says, he's gone. And yet Jesus has told them this will not end in death. He seems bound and bent that he's going to get there. So off they go. When they arrive, they find nothing to lighten the mood. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was close to Jerusalem, and so many Jews had come out to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Evidently, this was a family that was well known and well loved because people were coming out. They were making the 2-mile journey to come and to be with the sisters. In this culture, mourning is a very public affair. You were obligated, really, to hire at least 2 flute players to be playing mournful music in the background. It was not uncommon for families to pay women to weep at the graveside. And so this would have been a very sad scene that Jesus walks into. Verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let's pause there. Look at how honest and raw she is. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Sometimes when we mourn, we might feel as though we're not being good believers if we say, God, why did you let this happen? Why? But this, in the Bible, invites us to ask hard questions, to be honest with God. He can take it. Because really, it shows a degree of faith underneath of it, too. If you had been here, you have the power. Verse 22 shows that there really is faith, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask, he says. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's right. She's appealing to good Orthodox Jewish belief that at the end of the age, God will raise people up to life. That is true. But Jesus goes on, that's not exactly what I meant. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus has said something remarkable, right? Not just, I can give resurrection, I am resurrection. Not just, I can give you life, I am life. And if I may, let me just add a couple of words to what Jesus says to clarify. He who believes in me will live in a glorified body forever, even if he dies physically. And whoever lives physically in this temporary world and believes will never die in the spiritual sense. Do you believe it? What does Mary say? Martha say? Verse 27, yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Over in Luke, I think Martha gets a bad reputation because of the whole, you know, why don't you get my sister to come and help me cook? Right? Don't be a Martha. You've heard that before. But here, we get a stunning affirmation of faith. You know, in the book of John, we've seen the leaders of Israel, we have seen the disciples fail to really grasp who Jesus is. And here, on Martha's lips, is possibly the most clear, straightforward affirmation of faith in the whole book of John. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one, the one that God specifically set apart to come into the world to give to his people the blessings that God intended and promised through Abraham. You are the Son of God sent into the world. I don't know why John didn't camp there a little longer. I probably would have if I was writing the Gospel of John, because that's huge. But obviously John had something more he wanted to say, different he wanted to say. So verse 28, after this, he said, after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were there with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. Those are stage directions, really, for us to say, okay, there's a huge crowd of people now going out to see, well, what Jesus is about to do. Not that they know what Jesus is about to do. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Exact same thing as Martha said. God can take these questions. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. This gives us a real glimpse of Jesus' humanity, right? We see how the death of Lazarus impacted him. He sees the people crying, and it breaks his heart. And the word behind that word, deeply moved, in the NIV, is actually the word that you would use for horses snorting in frustration. There's an element of anger behind it. So if you're using a different translation, it might say something about anger at that point in the Bible. Why is Jesus feeling angry at this moment? I've wrestled with this for a long time, and now, after three memorials, I think I'm starting to understand. With all of these funerals, I felt such sorrow, such deep, heartbreaking sadness, and there was nothing I could do about it. And amidst the sadness, I started to feel another emotion. Anger. This is not the way it should be. God did not create human beings to die. God created us to enjoy eternal fellowship with him. And it's only after humanity broke faith with God that death entered the picture. That's why God sent Jesus to reconcile us to him, so that we can be restored into this eternal fellowship that God intended for us to have in the beginning. Death is an enemy introduced to the world via sin that destroys our relationships in a way that God never intended. And that realization made me so angry. In a perfect world, like pre-fall, Sharon should be alive, Drew should be alive, Jean should be alive. It gave me such turmoil in my heart that I wanted to throw a chair across the room. I didn't. But I think that's what Jesus is feeling. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, he replied. Jesus wept. Jesus gives us permission to cry and to mourn, right? If the resurrection and the life can cry over death, then so can we. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept him from dying? Again, there's some disagreement in the crowd about, well, who is this man? What's the extent of his power? And so on. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Picture this scene. The whole crowd of mourners has followed Mary out to Jesus. There she is, lying at his feet in the dirt with tears tracing tracks through the dust on her face. Her sister Martha is there with her puffy eyes from crying. The crowd is gathered as they're all blocked off by a cold stone. And the Lord of life walks right up to the lair of death. "Take away the stone," he said. But the Lord said, "Martha, ever the pragmatist, by this time there's just a bad odor. He's been in there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said to his father, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." He's evidently prayed for Lazarus already. That's what he's thanking him for hearing. "I knew that you always hear me, but for the benefit of the people here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in the strips of linen, the cloth around his face, the very same grave clothes that they had put on his body 4 days earlier. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes. Let him go." The dead man came out. It was not enough for Jesus to say, "I'm the resurrection and the life." He proved it. He resurrected Lazarus. He gave him life and gave him back to his sisters so that they could live again. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now, what was the point of that? Was it simply to show that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? He can bring people back. He has authority over death. John, as he writes this down, obviously wants to tell us, yes, historically, Jesus did this. He raised this man, Lazarus, back to life. But he wants us to take it a step further. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, I think we can say God wants us to take it a step further. The death and resurrection of Lazarus is meant to prompt us to believe in Jesus. It's not just he raised him up. It's since he raised him up, he is worth believing in. And when we believe in him, Jesus promises to resurrect us to eternal life. Belief in the one who raised Lazarus means resurrection for us. Let me take you back into the text just for a minute to show you that. First, in verses 5 and 6, there's something going on in the text that I skimmed over. And if you were paying really close attention, you would have noticed. Bob read from one version of the NIV, and Josh had a different version of the NIV. And so there was a difference in the text. Let me show it to you. Verse 5 says this: "Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. There's two statements here. Jesus loved them, and Lazarus was sick, and when he heard it, Jesus stayed. There's this little connecting word in the NIV that says, "yet." And it makes it sound like, despite the fact that Jesus loved them, he stayed put. The problem is, that's not the best way to translate that word. The word that John used is more like "therefore," which is what the King James Version actually uses. Other Bible translations, like the ESV, the newest of the New International Versions, actually translates it "so." There's a purpose in connecting those two phrases. Because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. Because he loved them, he didn't immediately go to him. He knew, along with Martha and Mary, that if he had been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But he loved them, and evidently he had something better for them than preventing Lazarus from dying in the first place. I think what that is comes through in verses 14 and 15. Jesus says this to the disciples, but I think it applies to Mary and Martha as well. He says to them, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there." Why? "So that you may believe. So that by seeing, they would trust." In the wisdom of God, Jesus knew that it was more important to increase the faith of these people by witnessing a resurrection than it was to prevent the man from dying in the first place. That's why he lingered. Now there was no question that Lazarus was gone. But Jesus came back and turned utter devastation into utter joy so that people would believe and say, this man is the Son of God. There's a second text in verses 41 to 42. Jesus prays to his Father, and he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. That's kind of a weird prayer, right? I've always thought, that's funny. But he prays, thank you for hearing me. I've prayed this, that they may believe that you sent me. Verse 45 shows us that the prayer was answered. And I'm not sure in verse 42 that the prayer is, heal Lazarus. I think the prayer is, let these people believe, because they have seen Lazarus raised to life. Because, verse 45, therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary, who had seen what Jesus did, they put their faith in him. That's exactly the response that God intended. And that is to be ours, too. The death and resurrection of Lazarus is meant to prompt us to believe in Jesus so that we, like Lazarus, when we die, we will rise again. When we believe, Jesus promises to resurrect us and give us life too. That is how we can face down death with hope and assurance. Jesus says, right, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Next week, we're going to celebrate Easter. Jesus himself experienced this death and resurrection. Right? The ruling authorities nailed him to a cross that was meant to kill, and that gave us life. Jesus died the death that my sin and your sin deserved. But because he was pure and spotless and blameless, God raised him to life again so that he could extend to us life, eternal life. Do you believe that? Even if we die, even when we die, whoever believes in Jesus will live forever. You can have that this morning. Pray something like this. Jesus, I've seen that this resurrection has happened. It gives me hope that this resurrection can be mine too. I believe that you are the Son of God sent in the world to take away the sin of the world. Thank you for dying in my place. I turn from sin to follow you. Lord, lead me now. Lead me into eternal life. If you have prayed a prayer like that now or this year or at some point in your life, even when you die, even when I die, we will be raised to life, just like Lazarus was. Better than Lazarus was. Lazarus was resuscitated right into his body, his skin, his flesh that died. But when Jesus brings us back to life, we rise up in glorified bodies like his. Bodies that are like ours now. It's not like material things are bad. We raise up into these glorified bodies that look like these and are like these, but are free from sin and death and sickness and sorrow. That is a promise that you can build your hope upon. Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies, Jesus says. Belief in the one who raised Lazarus means resurrection for us. You know, in a sense, Martha was right looking forward. There is a time at the end of the age. And in a sense, it's true that that scene at Lazarus' tomb will be played out for each and every one of us. If we believe in him now, when that day comes, he will in effect say, "My child, come out." And we will be raised to live with him forever. Let's pray together. Father, there is no question that this is a hard topic, a hard thing to wrestle with. We experience death in a very concrete way. This is not an abstract concept that we are dealing with in this congregation. Lord, our hearts ache because of the pain of death. And we pray that we would be delivered from death. We pray for people who are from our perspective, nearing the ends of their lives. We think about people who have gone, and God, in our humanity, that is so painful. I don't want to take anything from that. I pray, God, that you would give comfort and strength and encouragement to people for whom this is really raw. God, be a good shepherd to us. I pray too, Father, that this would give us great hope and assurance in our hearts. Jesus, thank you that you died and were raised back to life. Because of that, we are guaranteed, as we believe in you, to live forever. We mourn death, but that's not the end. We look forward to living with you forever in eternity. Thank you for being the resurrection and the life. Help us to take part in it and build our hope and our lives upon it. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together as we respond.